production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, same, same, but Dutton. It seems the deed is done. Arch-conservative Peter Dutton, perhaps the most divisive figure in the Liberal Party, is set to be its next leader, with no one planning to stand against him, while Susan Lee is likely to become his deputy. It's not clear if Dutton is merely a placeholder, a leader not expected to make it to the next election. Perhaps he's simply there to be a wrecker, a Tony Abbott-style opposition leader who will undermine the Labor government, despite a clear call from the electorate for an end to the divisions that have riven federal politics. In any case, it's hard to imagine he could win back government in 2025 or ever, with the party already bleeding votes over its rightward lurch and toxic leadership. The remaining moderates, having marginalised themselves almost out of existence, have no power to stop this, and they are already doing their best to rehabilitate Dutton's image, promising that he's not as bad as he seems. But does the party really expect Australians to forget everything this warmongering, dog-whistling hardliner has done? It almost seems unnecessary to list it all, but Peter Dutton is the sort of politician who has done so many fucked up things that it's hard to remember them all. Though perhaps that's the point. He's the man who walked out on Kevin Rudd's apology to the Stolen Generations, one of the only MPs to do so. He was the minister caught on hot mic joking about Pacific nations facing rising sea levels due to climate change, and he tore down Malcolm Turnbull for daring to do anything about that. He's the guy, as Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews reminded us yesterday, who falsely claimed the Victorians were scared to go out due to African gang violence, and who incorrectly blamed teenager La Chole's death on such gangs in a bid to score a political point. He suggested that white South African visas should be fast-tracked and described deporting a New Zealand miner as taking the trash out. He was slammed for accusing his Labour opponent in Dixon of using her disability as an excuse, and had to apologise to journalist Samantha Maiden for labelling her a mad fucking witch in a text message that he accidentally sent to Maiden herself. He was the Home Affairs Minister who started that cruel war against the Biluila family, who compared their children Theronica and Kopika to anchor babies, and suggested that sick refugees could steal our hospital beds. He's the guy who famously said that women in detention were, quote, trying it on in claiming they had been raped as a ploy to get to Australia for an abortion, and who sued an activist for defamation over the suggestion that this comment made him a rape apologist, and lost. In recent months, he's stoked war with China and suggested that Labor was Beijing's pick for the election, thereby alienating Chinese voters and politicising national security in what even the Australians saw as ludicrous posturing, considering the state of Australia's defences. Not that he's ever been particularly competent as a minister. He's the sort of man about whom sympathetic publications run profiles declaring he is, quote, not a monster, a real quote from his wife. He is so unpopular in places like Kooyong that Josh Frydenberg's increasingly desperate campaign reportedly discussed printing flyers with the message, vote Ryan, get Dutton, knowing that Dutton was as toxic as Scott Morrison in the inner city seat. It barely seems necessary to run through all this. And yet, elements of the Liberal Party seem to think this can all be waved away, that they can introduce a new Dutton, just as Scott Morrison offered to become a changed man. Many Liberals obviously hope that Dutton won't last, but in the meantime they're having to pretend he's not the worst choice they could possibly make, given that Dutton has the numbers in the now even more conservative party. But do the remaining moderates really want to go on standing by toxic leadership, tacitly endorsing a rightward drift that has almost cleaned them out? Now would clearly be the time for them to finally take that stand they didn't take while in government. They have nothing to lose, and plenty to repair in the teal seat they hope to win back one day. How will the moderate wing of the party ever rebuild itself if it allows Peter Dutton to take the leadership without so much as a fight? At this stage, it seems there is little the moderates can actually do to stop Dutton becoming opposition leader. This is something that many progressives are not so quietly celebrating, believing the move will only be delivering more teal independence in the future. The same goes for keeping Barnaby Joyce, according to former independent MP Tony Windsor. But in trying to convince the public that there could be a new Dutton, or that Dutton isn't so bad, the remaining moderates are choosing to dig their own graves. One imagines that Josh Frydenberg now regrets not challenging his deeply unpopular leader in September, even if he wasn't sure he had the numbers. And one can only imagine how much the remaining moderates will come to regret letting an even more toxic leader waltz right in. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. Likely new Leader of the House, Tony Burke, says Australians clearly want parliamentary reform. As he told Guardian Australia, in the last term in Parliament, the House of Representatives became a farce. I'm determined to fix that. Burke says he has already met with independent MP Helen Haynes to discuss improvements to question time and parliamentary debate. And in today's bad opinion, former Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews has defended a contentious media release about a boat interception published on Election Day, which went against Border Force's own policy. As she told News Breakfast, it was actually an important thing to do, given the fact that it was Election Day and there needed to be transparency. The new government has launched an investigation. Talking numbers, and there are 6 House of Representatives seats still in play. On the current count, Labor is expected to reach 76 seats, the Coalition 59 and the Greens 4, with the minor party now the slight favourite in Brisbane. And in today's policy, likely new independent Senator David Pocock is urging the new Labor government to adopt independent MP Helen Haynes' bill for a Federal Integrity Commission, rather than pursue their own. In today's episode of 7am, as the Liberal Party examines its electoral defeat, questions are being asked about the party's future. The frontrunner for the leadership is Peter Dutton. But what kind of opposition leader would he be? And is the moderate wing of the party, all but wiped out by independents, now dead? Today, former Liberal leader and columnist for the Saturday paper, John Hewson, on what went wrong for the coalition on election night and what lessons the party should take from the defeat. Listen to 7am now on the Listener app. And that is the politics for Wednesday, May 25. Subscribe to the politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to the politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.